Blog Talk Radio.
Consecration. You can hear more of Francel's music at francel.com. This is Paula Thompson, and we are on The Cosmic Citizen on Blog Talk Radio. And with me is my dear friend, Crystalyn B. Glarson. Hi, Crystalyn.
Hi, Paula. Good morning.
Good morning. It's always great to hear your voice.
Ditto.
And we have a great show that I think will be of interest to Urantia book readers and Urantia students in general, and especially young people, because we are talking to the Fellowship's Youth and Young Adult Committee. Well, some of them, not all of them, but some major players on that committee. And right now we have the chair, which is Anthony Finstad. Hi, Anthony.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning, Crystalyn. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, our pleasure.
Oh, yeah, it's great to have you guys on. And also we have Angie Thurston. And Angie, I've known you since you were a little kid, so it's pretty
That's
young.
Right.
And now you are a beautiful, accomplished young woman, and I am so thrilled to know you all these years. So I'm glad you're on with
us. I feel the same.
and Jeff... Correct me, Jeff, if I pronounce your name wrong. Is it Thies or Thies?
Thies. Thies is generally accepted, yeah.
Thies, okay, great. Jeff Thies from the Northern California area, also a member of the Youth and Young Adult Committee, and also my own dear Maylee Thompson.
Who you've also known since she was a little girl.
Since she was like 11 pounds. and we have two more holding on, so I'm going to put them on and see who we've got here. This is area code 559.
Hi, it's Liz Craig.
Hey, Liz.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Another wonderful member of the Youth and Young Adult, Urantians. And there's one more. This is a 720 number. I think this person just likes to listen. So there's a 720 number that calls in on a regular basis and just listens. So I welcome you to listen. But we have Liz, Angie, Jeff, May, and Tony. Welcome to the Cosmic Citizen, you guys.
All right. Good to be here. Greetings from the land of the midnight sun.
Yes, indeed.
We're scattered from all over. Myself, I'm in Alaska. Angie's in Brooklyn. So we span five time zones, 4 hour difference. That's one of the pleasures, the challenges, and the joys of the committee work. We call in once a week.
Very early in the morning for you, and it's already afternoon for Angie.
Yeah, exactly. But we make it work. We're a flexible group, so it's been fun.
Well, and we're hoping to get a call maybe even from Sweden today, so hopefully we can talk a little bit about some of the activities that are happening over in Europe this summer as well. But why don't we start out with talking about the event you have coming up in Chicago.
Great. Yeah, I'll turn it over to our conference, our events committee chair, and Angie, who does a wonderful job at taking the lead on our events. We're involved with four events to some degree or another this summer, starting in 3 weeks with Berlin, and then Taos next month, and then two events in Chicago that are back-to-back separate events, but they connect with each other in overlapping dates. So, Angie, I'll let you take that away with our Yaya conference.
Okay, sure. Well, we're really thrilled this summer to be partnering with different committees of the fellowship in putting together a pair of summer events in Chicago. I think most of our listeners probably know about the summer study session that's coming up at Technique Towers in early August. And as the Youth and Young Adult Committee, we have been trying to put on every half year, so twice a year, an event for youth and young adults. And so we thought it would be very fitting this year to put on a youth and young adult conference that would dovetail with that summer study session to try to encourage youth and young adults to come and be part of both. So this summer we're hosting a conference from Saturday, July 28th until Thursday, August 2nd. And then we're hoping and planning for many of the young people who join us at that to then stay from August 2nd through Sunday the 5th at Techni and experience the study session, and we can talk a bit more about that. But for our Youth and Young Adult Conference, we're going to be holding it at Diversey at the Foundation, which we're really thrilled about because there's, I think, a lot of young people who have grown up with or discovered the book who have not ever been to Techni and to see where the book was first born. So we're excited to be putting on the conference in that historical site, and we're going to definitely take advantage of that to make sure that we have programming about the history of the book and the history of that space, and even some more extracurricular history and exploration of Chicago itself. And so during that nice long period of time we have, we've only ever done conferences for 3 days, I think, is our standard. So we actually have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the beginning of Thursday, which is a really nice chunk of time, especially since one of our primary goals with these gatherings is to bring young people together to spend time together, and we have extensive programming and a lot of effort goes into the scheduling for these, and Liz in particular has been working on the schedule for this, but we really also make sure that we allow free time in that schedule for all of these Young Your Inch book readers to get to know each other, and so having more than 3 days is definitely helpful as far as that's concerned. So I could go into a little bit of the program for that if you'd like, or we could also do more of an overview of the whole summer.
Well, I think it would be great to hear what you've got in mind for the program there at the Foundation.
Okay, sure. And for the rest of our team on the line, definitely feel free to jump in if you have anything you want to add. So a couple things that we have on the docket for Chicago, and these sort of speak to our committee's goals in general, and I think we've articulated those on the air here before, but maybe just as a reminder, our vision statement as a committee, we tend to hone in on what we call the four S's and an O. So that's study, support, socialization. What's the fourth one? I'm forgetting.
Service. Yeah,
that's a big one. We don't
that's
forget
big,
that in
that's
practice.
The big S. They're all big S's.
Yeah, they're all big S's. And then outreach is our O. So in putting together these conferences, this is our third one. The first was in Boulder. The second was in Los Angeles, specifically in Pasadena. And this is our third, and we're planning a fourth one in Santa Cruz in the fall. So we really tried to focus on all four of those guiding principles as we put these conferences together. And so just sort of going down our little agenda that we've outlined, one of our big projects over the year on the outreach front is making a video introduction to the Urantia book. And that's something that Teva Orjola has been spearheading. And we're really excited about this project, and we want to make sure that we incorporate some filming into our time in Chicago. So we're going to be working with the participants there to get their impressions, their stories of how they found the book, what the book means to them, and over the course of the next 6 months to a year, really collecting a lot of video testimonials, not just from this conference, but that's going to be one thing that we work on in Chicago. Another thing that we're going to be developing while we're there is a survey that Jeff Thies has been creating, which is really a fantastic document, which is basically a survey that's designed to advance spiritual practice in our community and to find out where people are at in terms of their spiritual practice and where they would like to be and where they would like our community to be. And that's something that we're going to be further developing, and I think asking our participants to take when they're in Chicago, and based on their responses, creating an opportunity for discussion and for the possibility of getting some brainstorms out there for next steps. Jeff, is there anything you want to say about your survey?
No, I mean, you basically covered the premise of it, you know, the idea of finding out the needs of our community at large, specifically related to, you know, each of their personal relationships with God, or each of their needs in spiritual development, community support for each of those aspects of life, and then be able to look at that, again, just sort of statistically and see what the needs are or wants are for the community, so we can develop programs and resources that, you know, optimize our time and help everyone as best as possible.
Yeah,
how did you come
really
up with that idea, Jeff?
I don't think I did, but it came out of my mouth.
Okay.
But in terms of deciding to create the survey?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a specific motivation other than just that it just made sense, very, you know, in terms of organization. I organized a number of different other groups, and just, you know, knowing what people want, the individuals, or I guess taking a step back, just I feel like the community, the idea of community should be based on incorporating each of the individuals, and, you know, a lot of other groups focus on just community without as much input from the individual. So that's sort of what I wanted to structure things.
Sounds like a really nice idea.
Would you guys say that one of your overall objectives then in having, I know you used to call them invitationals. Do you still call them invitationals, or are you just calling them conferences now, or mini conferences, or?
Mm. Good question. Yeah, we did. We used the word invitational for the first two that Angie referred to, Boulder last summer and Pasadena. And there was a few people that thought they were confused at the term invitational. And I invite anybody that's listening out there, if they want to call in or offer their opinion on that. Those of us on the core committee, being the six of us, we're comfortable with the term invitational. We thought it was a little different from conference or retreat or gathering. And it had a unique sound to it for us, and it sounded inviting. But then sometimes we heard people viewed the term as not inviting, or somehow it was viewed that they needed an invite, more specifically, to attend, and that it wasn't as welcoming as we were thinking it was or expecting it to be received. And we were putting it out there, obviously, in a very open, welcoming way, but it wasn't always received that way. So just like anything new, until people get used to it. So we kind of wrestled with that one a little bit as a committee. It was good for our committee to, one of the challenges that we've had to see how we dealt with that, and we thought maybe the best way is to, at least for now, to change back to a more traditional term, conference.
Okay. So your overall, it seems to me like, one of your prime objectives has been to bring everybody together and create community, especially in the, younger Urantia Book readers. Obviously, you all have that in common. You all love the Urantia Book. You all want to study it. You want to discuss it. You want to share insights and understandings of it. But you also want to come together and create community. Would you say that's a true characterization? Anybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Liz and May, do you guys agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I feel bringing community together is very important. That's kind of, I want us all together, and it's great when we get together. The energy is great, and the people are amazing, and I definitely think that's one of our primary objectives.
Yeah, I agree. I think that community is something that, is a support system for all of us, and being on this committee and learning or creating a community has helped in many facets of everyone's life, or at least for me, in school or with extra activities. I can share that with this committee and the whole community that we've created, I guess. I think it's a really good way to know, really know someone and people, and based on traditional, beliefs of the book, I guess, and the values.
And that happens, in study groups all the time. Every week, you get to a very deep level of love and commitment to one another, and, you get to where you're like family. But it's different when you're spread out all over the country. And so, I think I agree with you guys that it is so important that you come together face-to-face to have that sense of community. And, you would, I think, meet your objection or your objective if that's all you did was just come together to be together. But I know it's evolving into, and in some ways it started out like that, but it just continues to evolve. My hat's off to all of you for this whole process. I've seen how committed you are. You meet on a regular basis. You care. You're just devoted to creating this, and I think it's great because your voice is unique. Your generation is unique, just like all generations. I came into the Urantia Book when I was 20, and my generation, a lot of my generation, came in at that time. In fact, the Urantia Book went through the hippie movement like wildfire. And a whole big bunch of us came in at the same time. And I remember in my own experience, and I'm sure Tony and Crystalline would concur with this, I was reading alone for 2 years and just enthralled. I found the God of my dreams. I found the story of Jesus. I found cosmology that made sense to me. I found religion that made sense to me. I found a spiritual path that I gladly, willingly entered on. And but it wasn't enough to just read that alone. I found that after about 2 years, I would try to talk to some of my friends and my family, and, you know, it's this book, and, you know, it claims to be written by celestial beings, or angels and beings like that, and they'd think I was crazy, and they didn't want to talk about it anymore, and they would shut me down. And I found myself just longing to talk to someone else who agreed, someone that I could share this deep, personal, spiritual transformation I was going through, and who understood what I was talking about. So, you know, I know, I'm in your camp. I know how vital it is to come together with like minds.
And we had the good fortune of having the Boulder School start up in the mid-80s, which brought, you know, oodles of young people to the Colorado Front Range area for several years. And so there was sort of a place to congregate. There was also the group in San Francisco in the Berkeley area that were really involved in doing outreach and service with Family of God. And there was just so much more going on then. We had, you know, ever-increasing numbers at conferences, and it was a very dynamic time for all of us. So we want you to be able to have a similar type of experience.
Yeah, the thing that impresses me, you know, Paula, you and I have a similar story. Of course, Crystalline is a second-generation reader.
But the only Urantia Book readers that I had met really growing up were just my own family members.
Right.
It wasn't until we moved to the U.S. and started going to Urantia conferences that we met large groups of other readers.
Right, because you were in Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me it was almost 4 years, I think, Paula. And the thing that impresses me, 4 years being alone, reading it and looking for community and trying to create a study group until I finally succeeded, and including hitchhiking to 533 Diversity Parkway, where we're going to be meeting this summer, just to see what was there, you know, who opened the door. And, of course, that was back in the 70s when that was one of our rites of passage. But the neat thing is, even though we didn't have the technology that this generation has, what impresses me so much about this group is, and sometimes our generation has a negative stereotype of technology, and of course all these young adults on this committee are light years ahead of us, and they use the technology in real healthy ways. And we have a website that I'll plug, since our IT man Tevo is not on the call right now, and that's urantianow.com. And of course, you know, they tweet, they Facebook, they text, they have their phone in their pocket at all times, but they crave personal contact in community, and nothing replaces that FaceTime. And in between meetings, you know, they keep community alive in these creative ways. And what Jeff's done electronically, this can go out to the larger community. And even though we're scattered around, we become a closer community with this type of service work that he's putting together. And that way, when we do come together, and nothing does replace that FaceTime, we have a better sense of who we are and what our needs are. So that's where I've been so impressed with how they've been combining the technology that's available to their generation and intertwining it with human contact.
Things that we could hardly have even imagined in the 70s and 80s. So great to be able to connect through social media and other other ways.
Talking about connecting and stuff, I'll plug my phone line right now. I started a UB chat hotline, and it's been successful so far. It's been open about 3 weeks, and it's really exciting. It's basically a community building hotline or a help hotline for whatever people need. Just call and connect to a reader because we are so spread out. And the number is, if you guys want to call in, you can look at it on Urantia Now, the phone number. It's a toll-free number, so it doesn't cost the people that call in anything. And it's 1-855-7-UB-CHAT. So it's, if anyone listening wants to call in, that's awesome, and talk to me for a while. And my hours are Pacific time 3 to 8. Tuesday through Friday, and it's been really, like I said, successful so far, and, you know, I've met some great people, and can't wait to meet them in person, so.
That's such a great idea, too, Liz. You want to share a little bit about what stimulated that idea for you and how you've gotten that up and running?
Yeah, actually, I was inspired at one of our invitationals in Pasadena. We did a workshop on basically we read about the apostles' personalities, and basically we filled out a paper saying if we were, you know, be an apostle, what would we think our service would be and our nicknames and stuff like that. And I was inspired, and I thought I talk to people a lot. My friends come to me for counseling. I've done some peer mediation type stuff. I've been through self-help workshops, and I thought I have the potential to be a good person to talk to and consult people. And I thought, you know, why not do something about it? And that was in November, and here it is up and running, you know, about half a year later. So it's very exciting.
Well done.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, that's 1-855-822-2428. Is that correct?
7-7-8-2-2. I don't have the number memorized, but it's 1-855. You can look it up online. If you go to Facebook.
Well, we want to be able to announce. Sorry. Go ahead.
Facebook.com/groups/UBChat. That's
okay,
UBCHAT. So, and join my hours are posted on there and stuff. And if anyone wants to call in outside of the hours, message me on Facebook or on Urantia Now, and we can set up a time, because I know people can't always call in during those hours, and that's fine. So.
And I have the number here in front of me. It's 1-855-782-2428.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie. I'm actually on the road right now, so I don't have a computer in front of me. So.
Well,
thanks, Liz.
I have a computer and a phone, and I'm still confused. So. okay, great. I wanted to put that on the chat board, Liz, so that's why I asked. But I'm glad to get it out there and get the word out there, and it's a wonderful ministry. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, there's so many things we can do, and sometimes we just get stuck. And in my experience in the Urantia movement, there's always the naysayers who tell you why that will never work and whatever. But as someone who has pushed those boundaries a lot in my life, I encourage you all to keep doing it, because the only way we'll ever get good at any of these kinds of ministries and outreach ministry and conferencing and community building and whatever it is we want to do. The only way we'll ever get good at it is to keep trying different things and see what works. And I'd like to ask you all a question. What would you like from us, you know, as the generation that's, you know, on the road just ahead of you with this thing? What can we do to make your job of community building, outreach ministry, whatever it is, easier? It's a loaded question, I know.
Mm.
Well, my experience at these gatherings, and I include both gatherings that have been focused on young people and also larger intergenerational conferences, one thing I've noticed is that it seems that there's an increasing emphasis among our generation on spiritual practice, and that's something that is inclusive of book study, but that is very much action-centered. We're definitely a generation that is eager to put this revelation into practice in our daily lives. And that's not to say that generations before have not had that impetus and have not done so. But I think that it's something that we consistently are bringing up and grappling with as we look at the study group model and study groups that oftentimes are comprised primarily of those who are older than us. You know, I think May is part of a study group that is an exception to that. But by and large, those of us who attend study groups are often the only one of our generation in that group. And we're looking at ways that we can be proactive together as a generation despite some of the geographic barriers and things like that, and engaging in these conversations and then kind of experiments in spiritual practice has been something of a priority for us. And so as we engage with the generations that are older than us, I think it's a combination of support for and openness to our experimenting in those ways. And that's across the board, whether it's service or outreach or a personal practice, you know, to share your wisdom and to also be open to the possibilities of what we might discover as a generation. And, you know, I think there's, over the years, it can be, you know, communities can form, and in some ways there can be the temptation for them to kind of crystallize, where you get used to doing things the same way over and over again, with the same group of people. And, you know, I think the process we've gone through as a committee over the last 2 years has involved so much growth for all of us and so many new relationships that weren't in our lives before. And I think it's, for me anyway, it's shown the capacity for that to happen on a bigger scale. And so I don't think I have a roadmap for what that means, but I think we would like it to involve not just our generation, but all the generations that know about this book. We are such a small community that it would be silly to be divided at all. And so that's just going back to our conferences. That's one of our through lines for all of these youth and young adult conferences, is that we always want to make sure that we have time set aside and organized to interact with the local readership wherever we go. So we worked with the Los Angeles Society in Pasadena. We worked with the Rocky Mountain Spiritual Fellowship in Boulder, and we'll be working with the Society in Chicago as well to have an intergenerational gathering. And at our gathering in Los Angeles, when we met with the LA Society, we went around the circle and we each said what our profession was in life and what we might want it to be, and, you know, created sort of a listserv of people who could possibly be mentors to each other. You know, just coming up with practical ways that we can serve each other intergenerationally is definitely a priority for us.
Well, I'd like to share a quote on the socialization of religion that has always been really meaningful to me on this topic. It's from Paper 99, Section 6, Paragraph 2. It says, there's a real purpose in the socialization of religion. It is the purpose of group religious activities to dramatize the loyalties of religion, to magnify the lures of truth, beauty, and goodness, to foster the attractions of supreme values, to enhance the service of unselfish fellowship, to glorify the potentials of family life, to promote religious education, to provide wise counsel and spiritual guidance, and to encourage group worship. And all live religions encourage human friendship, conserve morality, promote neighborhood welfare, and facilitate the spread of the essential gospel, their respective messages of eternal salvation.
Thanks,
Yeah,
that's a great quote.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it, and the rubber meets the road when we are trying to live the teachings. You know, it's one thing to read them, but it's like anything when in relationship, that's where the rubber meets the road. All of those beautiful fruits of the Spirit that Jesus gave us are about relationship, because you can't practice any of them except that you're in relationship with another human being, another personality. And we know we can have relationships with our divine friends too. And But I will say to you guys that those friendships that you make are lifelong, and that's really gratifying to have known somebody for 35 years and love them like family.
And to be able to know who to go to for spiritual guidance and counsel. I mean, for me, that was really one of the primary reasons that I moved to Boulder and wanted to go to the Boulder School and to live around a community of other students of the book, was that I wanted to know that, you know, when I got into trouble or when I was, you know, having real challenges with directional decisions, that I had wise counsel to go to. And I've never been disappointed in that from this community. You know, I've always known that there were, you know, several people that I could really confide in and share intimately, you know, what my spiritual growth needs were. And it's a wonderful experience to be able to count on that from your friends. Because often our peer groups through school or through other associations give us almost the opposite of wise counsel when we're hurting. If you know what I mean.
Definitely.
Hi, guys. I got bumped off.
Uh-huh.
That happens.
You're back.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I know the feeling. Yeah, well, I really like, obviously, how Angie answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
And that impresses me so much with this committee and with this generation is I think they're very well balanced in reaching up to our generation, and yet they're pioneers with their own talents and skills and opportunities. And they also see openings that are new for them as our society changes, they're ready to take on these challenges, and they've got the energy to get after it and go for it. And service seems to be one of the core driving outreach and service, very service-minded and motivated. But how I would answer that question from my generation, Paula, is I really appreciate how the fellowship is supporting the youth and young adults. I think we are being very wise in our counsel and letting them, supporting them, giving them this platform with this committee, and they're taking off with it. You know, it's not my work, it's theirs. And this is the little nudge that they needed from our generation. and we're letting them know how important they are, obviously. And we're helping finance some of this, which is only wise for the elders who have more funds to reach down to those that are still in their beginning of their earning years. And in case of May, she's not even out of high school. Liz is still in college. So it's just real helpful to see this dynamics play out. But they're pioneering for sure. They're their own challenges.
So would you mind repeating the the when and the where for people who might have just tuned in? When is your Yaya conference happening? When and where? And how would people sign up if they are interested in coming?
Yeah, absolutely.
Angie.
So the conference runs from Saturday, July 28th until Thursday, August 2nd of this summer, 2012. And we're holding it at the Urantia Foundation at 533 Diversity Parkway in Chicago. And we're really grateful to the foundation because they are providing us with rooms for young people and the Yaya committee will be covering the minimal cost of that so that our first 20 registrants are free. So their registration and housing is free for the first 20 youth and young adults who register for the conference. And we're also very grateful to Jennifer Siegel, who many of you know, who lives in Boulder, Colorado, and who is also incidentally a graduate of the Culinary School of the Rockies. And she is going to be cooking our meals for us for the bulk of the conference. And so food is going to be only $10 a day. And Jen will use that for grocery money. And
it will be extremely gourmet.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Extreme gourmet.
So basically, I mean, it's a pretty amazing deal between the foundation and the nearby getaway hostel where we've booked rooms for young people. For the first 20 who participate, it's free other than $10 a day for food on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. During the weekend of July 28th and 29th, that'll be by and large, the time when everybody's arriving and where the program is a little bit looser, and Jen Siegel won't yet have arrived at that time either, so people will be on their own a little more for the food and things like that. But we'll definitely have program planned for those days as well.
And will you be staying at 533?
Yeah, it'll be a combination. We'll have all of those who can will stay at 533, and then we'll have a group that stay at the Getaway Hostel, which is right nearby. And we believe between those two spaces we'll be able to house everybody, and, you know, they're within a very short walk of each other. So we'll center the programs at the foundation. So the workshops and discussion breakouts and all of that stuff will all happen at the foundation itself.
And for anybody who's listening who doesn't know, that's in Chicago, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
at 533 Diversity Parkway. And is there someplace online where they can get more information about this event?
There is. We have a lot of information about it on our website on urantianow.com. So that's Urantia, U-R-A-N-T-I-A, now, N-O-W.com. And there's a page on our website that says Join Us for Summer in Chicago. And that links you to the registration page for the conference. And so there's a form you fill out. It's very short and easy, and it just asks you when you're coming, you know, how many people you are, whether you're driving or flying and whatnot, and your contact information so that we can make sure to keep you in the loop about the program as we get it all finalized. So I would encourage everyone to go to urantianow.com. It's /join us for summer in Chicago. And that's where you can actually register. You can also send an RSVP directly to me. This is Angela Thurston. You can send it to my email address, which is awthurston@gmail.com. and I'm happy to be in touch with anyone who's planning to come or just has questions about the event.
Now, what would you say, Angie, is the age group that your Yaya conferences are intended for? Because I don't want people to think that, oh, wow, free registration, and here we go.
Totally.
For the, you know, because and not that everybody wouldn't be welcome, I'm sure, but I know you guys specifically want to really connect with people of your generation, and I think that's important to note.
Yeah. I think we've loosely defined it as 15 to 35, which is
mm-hmm.
a pretty big
okay.
age range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a couple of exceptions to that, but, you know, one of our committee goals for the coming year is to really focus in more on family life, and that's another thing we're actually going to be working on in Chicago. But
great.
We would love to be able to develop further programming for younger, you know, young teens and even kids under 10. And we'd also like to have programs and resources available to young parents and to people, you know, who are fostering the next generation and who may be older than the age of 35.
Right.
But for the meantime, a lot of our time and resources have gone to that general 20-year age span of 15 to 35. So I think that's, you know, I would encourage people, if you're outside that age range, to still contact us and maybe it would work out. But, you know, because we definitely are eager to get to know anyone who's eager to get to know us. but just as a guideline, that's what we've been using.
Great. And
wonderful.
Guess what? Tevo is on hold right now. Should I put him on?
Yay, Tevo.
Yay.
He's late.
Hey, Tevo.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Tevo.
Good
didn't morning.
Read Mountain Time. Oh, whoops. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've been talking about what you got. First of all, the event at the Foundation in Chicago this summer. And we've mentioned your rancho now a couple of times and your objectives and community building and that kind of thing.
Sweet.
And I think we can I hope we can move on to your participation in this fellowship summer study session too.
Cool.
But did you have anything you wanted to say in general about those things, Tevo?
Just that I'm excited. I mean, you know, I can't wait to see everybody, and I think we put a lot of energy and work into everything that we're doing, and I'm positive it's going to show, so.
You know what I would really like, since you're all on the line with us, and I know you all, but for the sake of our listeners, would you all be willing to just tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you found the Arantia book and that kind of thing?
Sure. Would you like me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my name's Tevo Orgila. I live in San Diego, California. I'm 29 years old, and 29 years young, excuse me. And I found the Urantia book when I was about 20. My dad found it when he was about the same age, so it was always in my house. My mom and dad actually both found the teachings before they met, which is extremely rare, I think. And that kind of, I think, is one of the factors that brought them together, is that they were so both amazed that they both found the revelation already. But anyway, I was always around the house, and when I was 20 years old, I finally picked it up for my own and started reading, and that was that. So,
cool.
That was short and sweet.
Had you talked about it in your family before then?
What I can remember.
Something you discussed?
Mm-hmm. What I can remember is my father asking me if he could read it to me sometimes. But my parents were into all kinds of things. I mean, my dad started a marimba band. My dad was heavily into the arts and the community, like, you know, Coeur d'Alene Commission for the Arts and kids' art programs. I mean, my parents did so many things. It was like your Urantia book was just another thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that that it held significance, but obviously until you read and you actually absorb, you know, you don't really have, you know, a genuine idea of what how profound it is. And so I remember him asking me to read, but finally when I, you know, I picked it up because I was suffering inside. I had some serious confusion going on in my own heart about relationships and love and marriage and stuff. My parents were, you know, getting divorced, and I picked it up and it turned right to the marriage section, and I read that section and I stood up from the chair, or I you know, got up from the chair feeling like my questions had been answered, you know, and that never happened to me as a young man. I'd never gone in search of, you know, answers and found them that same day. So yeah, it was profound.
It has a way of doing that. Jeff, what about you?
I fall in the second generation classification. My dad, he has his own sort of interesting story about how he found the book. And sort of in my childhood, we'd supplement reading the Bible with, you know, a page or two of the Urantia book. You know, my dad sort of distilled a lot of the teachings and sort of incorporated them into his sort of moral lessons of my brother and I. And it wasn't really anything, again, it was always around. It was nothing really that was forced on me in the sense of, you know, like regular activities in that sense. And sort of high school, college, you know, nothing, no involvement. And after college, you know, my dad just, you know, once a year, he's like, you know, if ever you get the chance, you should check this out. And maybe basically a year ago, picked it up. I read Jesus' Life and got inspired to meet other readers. Bought a ticket down to the Invitational in L.A. And then I think within 3 days, somehow became a committee member.
Yeah.
Jump in with both feet.
Yeah, we're
and
so
you're,
thankful
you're,
for that.
25, Jeff?
24.
24, okay.
And yeah, and I live in the Greater Bay Area. Live in Morris,
oh, Greater Bay Area, okay, great. I didn't mean to interrupt you, honey. Are you done, or were you?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Yeah, I know you made a real connection with the Jesus papers. You told me that when we met in Boulder. That, you know, of course I do too, so I can completely appreciate that. I know most everybody actually is a second generation, aren't you? You guys all are, aren't you?
I am. This is Liz here.
Hi, Liz.
Liz Craig is my name. I'm a second generation reader. I'm originally from Oakhurst, California, which is just south of Yosemite National Park. And I live in Fresno right now, which is about still south of Yosemite, but about an hour farther away. And I grew up with the book, and, you know, my mom doesn't read, but my dad does. He actually was in Alaska with Tony way back in the day. That's where he found the book. I didn't really read much on my own. When I was 16, I, you know, was inspired to, but I didn't really stick with it because I had too much going on in my life, you know, going through adolescence and being a rebellious teenager and all that stuff. But I grew up with the book, but I didn't go to any conferences. I went to my first conference in 2010, I believe, in Montreal, might have been 2009, with the United Urantia family, and I met Tavo there, and the community pulled me in. I knew there was something, you know, I was like, this community is amazing. I should really start reading this book to see, you know, really what makes these people so wonderful. And then I started, and then I went to the first Yaya Invitational in Boulder, and May asked me like at least 3 times to fill out an application to be on the committee, and I didn't do it until the 3rd time, and then I finally did it, and they welcomed me with open arms.
Hmm.
So
Yeah,
we're so blessed to have her. Yeah, we did.
Well, we were, I'm also a second generation, as most of our listeners know. This is Crystalline. And one of the things we had to do in Africa growing up in Ghana is we had to spend a lot of time in the car together because it always took forever to get anywhere. The city where I went to boarding school was only 180 miles from the village in the jungle where my parents worked at the mission hospital. But it could take as many as 8 hours to do that 180 miles. And so when we were in the car together, we would frequently get into fairly deep philosophical conversations, even when we were pretty young. And it was just wonderful to have Urantia Book answers to our childhood questions about, you know, what we're doing here and what life was about and what happens after you die and how do you have a personal relationship with God. And, you know, that was something that was really intimate in our family. And so I really encourage parents who are listening and children who are listening and teenagers, young adults, to engage in those kinds of conversations together. Because one of the sort of commandments, I guess you could say, or admonitions that Jesus gave to his apostles that really meant a lot to me, even as a child, was, you know, he told us to confide in one another. And I think what he meant by that was, you know, for us to trust each other with our real lives, real life issues, and to have that type of intimate relationship, because I think that is what builds community.
Yeah.
So Angie, what's your story?
Well, my story is that I'm 27 and I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and was lucky enough to know people like Paula and Crystalline as a young child. And I met May when she first came home, but didn't get to reconnect with her until a few years ago, when I was just overwhelmed by what a beautiful young woman she'd become. So that was one of the first connections I made with this group that's now the IA Committee. But my parents, I am likewise a second generation leader, and my parents raised me on the teachings of the Urantia Book. My dad had found it before my mom and introduced my mom to it before I was born. So by the time I came into the world, they were both ardent readers and believers in the book's teachings. And, you know, in some ways, similarly to the experience that Teva described, I think I grew up with it much more integrated into my life, perhaps, but I still had to come to a decision on my own that this was not only something that I inherited, but something that I actually believed myself and was going to be a guideline for my life. And as soon as I made that commitment, then it was sort of impossible to ignore and to remain sort of passive with that awareness. And so the last few years, I've gotten more and more involved in this community and in getting to know everyone else who shares this resource and wants to make sure that its teachings are shared more broadly. So it's absolutely one of the most important things in my life.
Well, I hear that.
What was it like in your family? How did your family share the teachings together? I mean, did you have, like, family councils or family study groups, or did you just sort of talk about it around the dinner table, or what was your experience that way?
Yeah, it was all of the above. I have two younger siblings, and both of my parents came from religious backgrounds that were not satisfying to them spiritually, and they were very intent upon creating a family culture that really integrated a spiritual life into the upbringing of their children. And so that included things like family councils. We were always having family meetings about things. Every Sunday we had a family, kind of family circle, where we would each go around and say what we were thankful for, and we had fruits of the spirit that we, well, that was kind of the reward at the end. If we did all of our Thanksgiving and we talked about a quote from the book and we explored some of the concepts, and usually we would sing a few songs, and then at the end we would get to eat cookies or whatever, and that was the fruit of the spirit. And, you know, but that was weekly in my house, and I did grow up going to study group, you know, as a young person. It was at the church in Boulder where we would hang out as kids in the basement with an adult chaperone who included some programming every week that was somehow based on the book's teachings. And then as I got older, it was, you know, going to study group once a week and reading the book with another family and discussing it. And we would always have one of the young people lead the study group. So it would be our responsibility, if it was our week, to pick a quote that we talked about at the beginning, to lead a prayer to open up the study group, and then to designate who read first. And, you know, sort of little things that made us feel like we were in charge. But it was across the board, you know. It was integrated into my schooling, and questions that came up about things like evolution, things like the Big Bang, you know, all of that stuff that you have to reconcile growing up in school and trying to figure out what you believe in relation to your peers. So they were pretty conscious and proactive about all of that.
We have Miranda Clendenning holding, and I'm going to put Miranda on here just in just one second, but I want to share with you guys a funny story first. My daughter came home from school, and like all of you, she was raised with the concepts of the Urantia book. I was 20 when I found it. She was a year old. And I would say that my daughter Jean is a believer, but not necessarily a reader. She may read the whole book at some point. Her religious philosophy is based on the concepts of the Urantia book. And she came home from school one day. She was about 10 years old. She said, "Mom, it's not easy being a Urantia kid." I said, "Well, why do you say that, honey?" She said, "Well, today in school, somebody told me about the devil and that I should really be afraid of the devil." And I said, "Nuh-uh, he can't hurt us. He's on a prison world." I said to her, "What did they do?" She said, just looked at me like I was from Mars or something. So I know, and you know, it can be not easy being a Urantia kid. Here's Miranda. Let's put Miranda on. She has some stuff she wants to say too and add to this conversation. Hi, Miranda.
Hello.
Thanks for hanging
in
there. Yeah.
So one question I had, who is the man that has been talking? I logged in like 10 minutes late and I didn't hear who that was.
Well, we have three.
He was talking about the Yaya committee. Who is it?
Tevo Orjula, Tom, Tony Finstad, and also Jeff Thies.
Okay, I think, what is it, Jeff? That's somebody that I've never met before, I think.
Yeah, Jeff Thies. I think Jeff dropped off.
Okay. I know Tony and Tevo, definitely.
Hi, Miranda. Good to hear your voice.
Hello. Yeah, you too. I'm so excited that this is the topic today, too, because obviously I love all the youth stuff and the Yaya and the Truth Seekers stuff that's going on, and plan to be at hopefully Chicago and Taos this summer so we can catch up on everything. And here in Colorado area, some of us have been working on trying to help with the values part of what's going on with the Truth Seekers, and you know, just helping youth and kids get more of a value structure, something that we can help do as part of even a school program, after school program, that type of thing, that's based on a lot of the things that it says in the Urantia book. One of the, my favorite sections is the part about that Crystalline was just reading, where it talks about in truth, beauty, and goodness, and the different values and teachings on different planets. Also, it talks in the Garden of Eden section about the different things that they taught their kids in their education and school system, and the different values that they focused on. And I just, we've been looking at a lot of different resources, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, teachings from other churches and youth programs combined with Urantia stuff, and trying to really try to figure out what values, you know, really can uplift a child or youth and make their life a lot better. So I'm really excited to be there this summer with you guys so we can discuss all of this so much more and help develop programs for in the future. I have 4 kids myself, and I'm a third-generation reader, third or fourth, I don't know. My great-grandparents read it, and my grandparents and my parents, but my mom's the one that found the book and passed it to them, so I don't know if you can consider that. But I have 4 children, too, that that want to be very involved in the movement, too, and have very strong faith so far, and we have lots of fun.
Congratulations.
Well, there's a great segue for you, Tony, because Miranda is a young mom. And I know that one of the things you guys want to take on is family life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's coming. And I really enjoyed your comments, Miranda, for sure. The values are at the core, and how we get to those and teach them and bring them out in these conferences, be it through Truth Seekers or the Yaya Gathering, yeah, meanings and values. But yeah, to the family life, for sure, Paula. That is one of the goals of our committee. We have an adjunct committee that has started. The core committee that's on the call here has been more focused on the youth and young adult part of it. And but as Angie mentioned earlier, that we want to start. We're only 2 years old, or less than 2 years old, actually. So we've always seen the need for the family life aspect, and we're developing that now. We're excited that we have Janet Graham as the chair of that at end of our committee, the family life. And she's gotten Sarah Blackstock on board. And between the two of them, there's a tremendous amount of experience and talent and history in the Urantia movement. They're both boomer generation women, but they'll bring a lot to the committee. And one of the younger persons that we have got on that adjunct committee is Richard Daunt, who's relatively new to the larger community, but Angie knows him. He's in New Jersey. He was born in New Zealand, and he has 2 sons. He's about 35 years of age. And he'll be coming to Chicago, and we have a panel discussion introducing the Family Life Adjunct Committee in Chicago on Saturday. I think that's the Saturday the 4th at Techni Towers. And then also Michael McIsaac. Most of us know Mike, and of course he's a father now. And so his interests are now gearing in that direction. He'll be on the panel as well. And hopefully we'll have Janet present a workshop in Chicago as well, in preparation for the family life at Techni, and start bringing this topic up to the IA conference.
Well, and speaking of Mike, I'd like to just segue off here, since he hasn't called in yet, to just remind everyone who's listening that there's also a conference going on in Berlin, Germany, this summer that's being put on by Urantia Europe, and it's from Friday the 6th of July through, I think, Monday the 9th.
Correct, yeah.
And that's going to be held in Berlin, and they have a site on Facebook called the Berlin Urantia Conference Berlin. And they have a website, urantiaeurope.org, where people can go and find out more information about that. If you have any Urantia book reading friends in Europe, please send them an email or drop them a Facebook message and let them know about this event. So far, they've got about 35 people signed up, but very few Germans. So let's get the word out to our German readers there that this is happening. And
so
hopefully,
just out of curiosity, is that in when they have a conference like that, do they present stuff in multiple languages?
Yes, they do. But actually, the majority of young people in Europe now who are active online are fairly fluent in English now. With the advent of the Internet, it has really encouraged fluency in English. So that does help. But for the older people mm-hmm. that attend, I'm sure they'll have it at least in French and German as well as English.
That has a level of complexity, doesn't it?
mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It says they're going to be speakers from various European countries as well as the USA. And long talks will not be part of the program. They're going to run, you know, sort of on the TED Talks theory of keeping their presentations to between 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Good idea.
And they're staying at a hostel in Berlin. Let's see if I can find out the name of it. I'm having a bit of difficulty with my computer. I do want to announce to everybody who knows me, I did finally get a new computer this week, but I just haven't gotten it booted up and running yet. So hopefully I'm going to be a little more computer savvy in the near future.
Well, you looked that up. Let's, May, we haven't heard from you yet. How did you find the Urantia book?
I looked on my bookshelf. No.
Loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
Mom, Paula, you introduced it to me when I was very young, and I have always been involved with the community. I have recently, I guess, with the Yaya Committee, been even more involved, other than, you know, going to the picnics and potlucks. I have attended Jen Siegel's study group for, like, 7 years, about.
And that's a study group for kids?
Yeah, and that's every Tuesday night while the adults have their study group. And so that's kind of where I've been reading the Urantia book. I haven't read the whole thing, but that is one of my goals for sure. I mean, I guess that the Urantia book has always been part of my life, similar to everyone's story. You know, it's always kind of been there or available. And so just recently, I think I've gotten the message of, you know, being active in the community and what that means. And I think that the community has openly accepted young people, I don't know, being active. So, yeah, that's kind of what it's done for me.
So oh, and you also worked at conferences since I can remember. I mean, since you were really little, I remember you working at the bookstore at conferences, helping run the register and everything. So you had a lot of interaction with older Urantia book readers, even when you were a little kid.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, being around experienced adults with the teachings, they seem to like to talk about it. You know, just when they talk to you, it just kind of flows, the values flows out of them to you. I don't know if that's weird, but I enjoy talking to older people. I think we can learn a lot. As young people, we can learn a lot from them. But, I mean, we also have to break our own ground. So it's kind of a nice two-way street.
Well, May is my guru. I learn a lot from May. So.
We all learn a lot from May.
May is awesome.
Oh, it's a mutual admiration society. I love that about your Angelbook readers. So I know you guys are planning to have an active, you know, and actively participate in the Fellowship Summer Seminar, which is a an ongoing conference that's been happening for many, many years. In fact, you know, many know that the Fellowship was, prior to being the Urantia Book Fellowship, was the Urantia Brotherhood, which was the offspring of the original forum, who met in Dr. Sadler's home to have the Urantia Book read to them before it was even a book. And early on in the history of the Urantia Brotherhood, now the Urantia Book Fellowship, they started doing summer conferences. So the summer study session is a long-standing tradition. And in terms of, well, we're, you know, as an organization or a movement, we're not that old. But for us, it's been going on for a while. And so it's really great to have you guys participating in the summer study. You were a big part of the international conference last summer. So what's going on there? What are you guys planning to do?
Angie, are you up for that one, too?
Sure. So we are very excited to be participating and have really appreciated the support of the Education Committee and of the Fellowship in general in our involvement with the summer study session. Our primary intention with the study session is really just to be involved as young people in the goals that are already built into what that event is all about. So rather than creating a separate or auxiliary program, we are just integrating our work into the work that's already being done. So what that means is that we are including workshops in the study session that are led by young readers, including some that are on this call right now, and that are directed toward the theme, which is progressive planetary civilization, and that take a look at that theme from our perspective. So Tony mentioned a panel that's gonna be part of that, which is on family life, and the participants in that, including Janet and Mike and Richard Daunt and Tony and Sarah Blackstock, and then Liz Craig and May, who are on this call, are going to be doing a workshop together. What's your workshop called again, guys?
I don't know if you guys can hear me because I dropped off, but if I'm back on. Okay, good. Our workshop is How You Can Progress Planetary Civilization. And yeah, so Angie was wonderful and helped with coming up with the title. So, and it's coming along great, and we're excited to do it and all that fun stuff.
It's a lot of work to prepare for a workshop, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of research, and I mean, I've never done one before. This is my first, so I'm just doing a lot of research and preparing stuff. It's going to be very interactive, so that'll be fun for the participants and stuff. We're going to play a little game and things like that. Don't want to give too much away.
I see right now May has her PowerPoint open on this computer, so she was actually working on that this morning. That's going to be great. And is Jeff, are you going to do a workshop at the summer seminar?
I am going to do an absentee workshop.
My
participation will be through the whatever happens with the survey.
Oh, great.
But, yeah, I will not be able to attend.
Yeah, I know. When I saw you in Boulder, you had a really great idea, and that you were developing for getting to know people and, you know, making new friends every day, you know, getting to know someone else every day, which is obviously a concept from the Urantia book. And so I thought maybe you were going to be there, but I know you'll, that's been percolating, so it'll come up in another conference somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah, that will show itself a little bit later, I think.
Yeah, Jeff has had previous commitments, longstanding, for his summers. I'll plug his service work. He's been involved with a student exchange with China. And so that's, he's made that commitment months and months ago. So it's a conflict with his schedule. Of course, we'd love to have him. But he's going to fulfill his commitment with his China exchange student program, which is a tremendous service that he's been doing.
Oh, that is. That's wonderful. What about Tevo? Tevo, are you doing a workshop at the summer study session?
I'm not really sure at this point. Am I doing a workshop, Angie?
Ask the boss.
go ahead.
No, I am. Peter Lawrence is the program chair of the summer study session, so if he hasn't told you you're doing a workshop, then you're not.
Yeah, which is good because, you know, there's, I'm going to be trying to do a lot of media there and do some interviews with people, and you know, so doing a workshop might be overload for me because we only get to see each other as a community usually once a year, so Chicago should be... I don't know, I'm just excited for Chicago, of course, because of the city, and I've never really spent time at the foundation, and, you know, I think I'll meet a lot of readers. I've never met a lot of seasoned readers, older readers I've never met before, and I've never been to a summer study session, so.
Well, and where you are at the foundation, you know, you're an easy walk to Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
It's a great neighborhood. It really
is. It's
so
fun.
You guys all have a lot of fun there. And I know that some of you are going to Taos for the Truth Seeker event. Maybe you want to share something about that.
Yeah, Taos is, you know, a promise that Tom made to the Truth Seekers at Snowbird that we would, he would create another event within a year because everyone loved Snowbird so much that everyone wanted to get together, so Taos is going to be July 16th through the 22nd, and of course Tom and Fred have all kinds of fun activities planned, and they've changed their curriculum a little bit, and it's going to be exciting. I mean, Truth Seekers is just really successful, I would say personally. From what I experienced in Snowbird last year, I mean, they are really providing something that is so essential to our community, which is a place for kids to go and feel safe and have community and have no pressure, you know, which is what we want. Because when I was talking to Tom a couple weeks ago when I was with him, you know, they're really centering Truth Seekers on the values, you know, which are universal in all religions. And when you talk to people of different faiths, they'll agree with that, you know, the values are the same. So I just love it. I know at the beginning when we were creating this committee and you know, that kind of came out of a conversation between me and May. And May was, of course, had always been involved in Truth Seekers. And we were kind of thinking, like, hey, wait, we want to study the Urantia book more. And, you know, so there was some sort of, like, lines being drawn in the sand at first. But I think what has sifted out of that is that Truth Seekers is absolutely essential, just as our committee is absolutely essential. And they're hand in hand together, you know. And I personally, I just love what Tom and Fred are doing. I just support them 100%, and I'll be in Taos being a counselor, and I think Liz will be there as well. And it's just exciting that they want to take this model and introduce it to, you know, all communities around the world. And I think that they're going to do that. They're passionate enough, and they have resources, and, you know, it's really great that they have focused so much on living the teachings, you know, through the values of the Urantia book. So If you have kids, contact us so we can get them to Taos.
Plus, San Geronimo Lodge, if you've never been to Taos before, is just this really amazing place. It's like a step back in time to the Old West. It's an original adobe structure. It's just an amazing place. You got to go check it out.
How old do kids have to be to go to the Truth Seeker stuff?
Like 13 or 14.
Okay.
I mean, if they were maybe 12 and mature or something, I'm sure there'd be, exceptions. But, yeah, 13, 14, kind of middle school age.
End up.
Yeah, end up, of course, up to about, 20, 21. And that's the age that they want for new truth seekers. But if you've already been a truth seeker, you're invited to come, because
you can be more of a facilitator or a counselor. What they say is once you're a truth seeker, you're always a member of the truth seekers.
a lot of people my age want to go to those events, which really shows that they've hit on something that is appealing.
One of the things that they really focus on is that intimacy, that trust building, and that confidential confiding what's really going on in your life and sharing with each other. That's really, I think, one of the things that really bonds people while they're having a really great time doing a whitewater raft trip or a ropes course or whatever the activity is the really intimate sharing that goes on.
Yeah, and just like you just said, Paula, it's something that you're like, I wish I could go to all of that with all my rancher friends, even though we're older. And I think it's, something that should be explored more too, those kind of activities that really build the trust and bonding and let people really openly share a lot together, camp out kind of things and that kind of stuff that could be done more with the adult group and stuff too. We sit around and discuss the book a lot and discuss future plans and all that kind of stuff, but I think a lot of really fun bonding time is, should be fostered too during the summer events and everything. I know I've been to some in the past, but I think it's a really good thing to foster a lot of the same kind of things that they do at the Truth Seeker events, offer that kind of stuff for people to, especially new people coming in to a conference. Sometimes it's kind of hard to sit in a lot of workshops or book studying sessions and stuff when you don't even know the people yet, and more activities for really getting to know the people are really valuable.
Miranda, how old are your kids?
Some of the things that they're focusing on this year, they say, is continuing growing in the knowledge of who we really are and of the destiny that awaits each of us as we journey within towards the recognition of our own personal truths. In addition to whitewater rafting, rock climbing, mountain exploring, and just having fabulous food at San Geronimo Lodge.
Yeah, my kids are 1, 4, 8, and 9, so they're younger than that, which is one reason why I'm working on trying to build more things that we can even do in our individual communities, more as after school activity kind of things that are a little bit Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts kind of format, but for Urantia kids or for any kids, but helping spread the Urantia teachings and that kind of stuff more, because the kids can be involved at a once a year conference type thing, and I'm lucky enough to live in Boulder where the kids can go to study groups twice a week where there's other children, and Jen Siegel has her incredible program for kids that are old enough to read and everything, but I just really feel the need to foster stuff, especially for young kids too. I work with the school system and other nonprofits around here with kids that are orphaned and in the foster care system and or having trouble in school with parents that just very you know, aren't really there in their lives. And the values that we know to instill in our children and are taught from the Urantia book and from just being a community together is something that's so needed with so many of the kids in the schools in elementary school and junior high and up through high school. And I just, it's really my, you know, passion and a goal to meet with as many people as possible and these committees and everything and try to really build stuff in, too, that can be an all-year-long continuing thing for younger children and ways to really help with teaching the values and teaching what the Urantia book is about. Not just, you know, starting at age 12, 13, but starting younger, too.
Yeah, I mean, necessary, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Urantia Book Fellowship really supports the True Seekers, and we gave them a $10,000 grant for this event this summer. And also I know that Youth and Young Adult Committee is sending ambassadors like Tevo and Liz to be counselors there. So it really is a great thing, and their website for our listeners is www.truthseekersquest.com. As I understand it, the event is $495 for children to attend or young people to attend, but it includes a whole range of activities. And so I think it's going to be a great event, and I hope people will go to the site. Again, that's www.truthseekersquest.com and check it out.
I know they're even offering to reimburse gas for the first 50 people that sign up and for carpoolers. So, hey,
yeah.
Get on board.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
They have some really cool pictures of Tevo on their site, too, by the way.
What, really?
Tevo, you're such a poster child.
He's going to love it.
Yeah. You're just too photogenic there, I guess.
I don't remember that.
Well, Miranda, you made some good points. I'm glad that you chimed in with your comments. I think that was real valuable. And I like your vision of incorporating more outdoor activities, and that's one of the visions that we have for future Yaya Invitational's conferences is to have some outdoor sites where we just focus more on camping and hanging out in the campfires and all that. And still staying with some of our same format, but being more out in nature. So I think that is a good format for helping bond. And it can be done at every age. And for those in the 20s and 30s, they want to do that too, obviously. We all want to be outdoors and enjoying nature together. So, and with our Chicago event, even though Chicago and Techne aren't real close to whitewater rapids or rock climbing and some of these more mountainous activities. we are going to go for walks and hikes and is it Grant Park, Paula? It's Lincoln Park that's right there by 533 and walk along the lake. And we're going to go for an architectural tour of Chicago, which is, you know, one of the more fascinating architectural cities in America, and float down the river that way. You know, it won't be extreme. But,
those are exactly the type of things. I think when you're, you know, walking with a group or, you know, carpooling together and or sitting at the park, it really gives time to just talk about things in a much more nonchalant way and really bring new readers or new people in as friends and family and get that chance to get to know them and talk about their, you know, life at home and all that kind of stuff instead of just having the workshops and stuff. So, awesome.
Yeah, thanks for that input. Definitely good format.
You know, I would like to see you guys, and this is just food for thought, but I remember, I think it was in 2010 that the young people had a conference in Boulder at the University of Colorado. And from there, a group of you, and I think, Tevo, you were in this group, went on down to the Rainbow Family Gathering and had a Urantia camp. Were you in that, Tevo?
No, I didn't go to that.
I was
that
there.
A great idea.
Miranda, you
yeah,
were there.
Yeah, I was there at that. It was awesome.
Lot of the young people that went there really, really loved that. Go ahead and
it was,
tell us.
Yeah, it was incredible. For one, the Rainbow Gathering itself, just the people there are just so incredible. Like, they just walk right up, met you at the front, like people you don't even know just hug you, say welcome family, and like helped bring our dog and kids and stuff to our campsite. People that we, you know, that we don't even know at all just helped with this. So the overall feeling was just amazing that I got from it. And then our Urantia camp, we had tons of fun just spending time as a group, but we put up signs all over the place saying, come discover this book. We had a book sitting out at the front of our camp that was open, that said, you know, please come and flip through this book. You know, we're giving them away for free, too. And everybody that went, we purchased books and were given some by extra ones the fellowship had and stuff. So it was so nice to have those donated and be able to have them. But it was extremely hard walking the miles and miles carrying boxes of books, but it was so worth it because we did not come back home with any books. People just stopped by. I mean, they would just walk by and they'd be like, what is this big fat book sitting here? And they'd look at it, and then, you know, we had people at the camp all the time to go up and talk to them, and they're like, what is this book? And so we'd tell them just a little, you know, brief summary of it, and they'd be like, oh, wow, how cool, you know, and just read some of our favorite parts. And they'd come every night and sit around our campfire, and we'd just pick out special parts and read them. And then people were taking the book back to their camp. They'd read all day. They'd come back at night and ask a bunch of questions. And it was just such an awesome experience, and people were just totally ripe for the teachings and wanting to ask questions, wanting to take the book. And like I said, we didn't come back with any. We gave away boxes and boxes of them, and I have run across people from that event since then that met us there and are attending conferences and stuff now, so, and met them online that said that they met us there. So it was totally awesome. I'd love to even sit down and have people come up with creative other things that we could do the same kind of thing, other Rainbow Gatherings in the future, or other big events, even like concerts, campouts, that kind of stuff. Where
Burning Man Festival.
Yeah, that Burning one Man's too. That's kind example. Of expensive, isn't it? I think I looked into it and it was kind of expensive to get to Burning Man, whereas Rainbow Gathering is always free. You got to hike in a long way, but it's free.
Well, I know Jeff is going to Burning Man, and it's funny. We have been talking about this quite a bit, Miranda, lately, because me and my brother and Danny and my girlfriend, we do outreach all the time, and we're kind of like, we always have conversations about, you know, how effective it is and where we should go, and, you know, and we recently, there was a festival down here called Lightning in a Bottle. I don't know if anyone's heard of it, but it's a huge
festival.
Yeah, so three of their friends came back to my brother's house after that event, and he said they were just all so spiritually high that they instantly got in a conversation about the Urantia book.
Wow.
And all three of them took Urantia books, and then they were, like, calling my brother, like, totally freaking out, couldn't believe they had discovered this, like, so, like, couldn't stop reading it. I mean, these are just, yeah, you know, so we're down in Venice Beach, and we go out on college campuses, and we go on the streets and stuff, And people in Venice are, you know, slightly receptive, but most of them are just there taking a stroll and, you know, whatever, and they're not really open. But if you, these festivals, I'm telling you what, like, they are where we should be focusing energy. Like,
the Wild Goose Festival also is an amazing place to go, and there's going to be one in Oregon next month, and one out in Virginia or North Carolina, someplace out east. Paula, do you know where that one is?
It's coming up next week, and it's in North Carolina at a farm. And those venues are similar to the Rainbow Family Gathering, and it's predominantly young people and they're camping. And
I need to just interrupt
because
I can't hear you at all. If you're not speaking, if you could mute your phone, that would be great, because we're getting a lot of feedback noise on the air.
Sounds like a car traveling or something.
Right. Okay, thanks a lot. Much better.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the wild goose is in North Carolina, and it's coming up next week. And then there's another one that's going to be in Portland. And there's other venues like that, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Tevo, because I think for young people, I know I speak for Crystal and myself, it's really hard for us to hike miles with boxes of books or to sleep on the ground. I can't sleep on the ground. I might as well just stay up all night.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
Yeah, and the older you get, the harder it is to camp comfortably. But when you're young and you have little kids, you can do that, and kids love it. So I think that would be a great venue for you guys if you want to take it up and have a presence.
And have you guys been to Burning Man before? Whoever was saying they were going to go to Burning Man.
Jeff has, right?
And
yeah,
Albert Katzen has been, and there have been several Urantia Book readers over the years that have done Burning Man.
So is it something that you would take the kids to and camp out at, or is it totally different? Anybody know?
Jeff, are you still?
Yeah, I mean, there are kids that go there. I'd say during the day, it's great, family friendly, everyone could go. But the nighttime, there's just sound systems going on 24/7, so it's really hard. You sort of have to go a little bit away from the commotion if you want to sleep. So I'm not sure little kids can handle that well. But during the day, when, you know, all the, like, the gifting activities and all the art exhibitions are going on during the day, that's an amazing experience that definitely kids would be able to enjoy. The weather and the atmosphere, I guess, is one more problem too.
There's also
really
sort of a lot of nudists and stuff like that that attend. So depending on how you feel about that in your family, just to be aware that a lot of that sort of stuff goes on.
Yeah, there was some of that kind of stuff at the Rainbow Gathering too, but it was, I mean, nothing that really bothered me or my kids even noticed that much. I mean, the kids definitely go to bed early on, and we didn't go to Main Meadow during some of the huge party stuff and everything with the kids. But, yeah, daytime activities and stuff they really enjoyed, and the other stuff was easy enough to stay away from, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've never talked to anybody
huge,
that's been to Burning Man.
It's a really huge, huge thing, and it's sort of like an artist community of all sorts of different participatory and experiential art, all kinds of really unusual things.
Yeah, at Rainbow Gathering, I think one reason people were so, you know, ripe for it, people go to that to, on the 4th of July, everybody is silent all day and prays for, you know, world peace and stuff, and then they have a big party afterwards. But I think a lot of people go there really seeking to build community, make new contacts throughout different parts of the U.S. and hear what other people are doing for community building and peace building type stuff and like eco-friendly living and all that kind of thing. So people are very spiritually open and looking for new things to kind of change their life and uplift their life around them. I'm not saying that everybody at Rainbow Gathering is like that, because definitely there are a lot of people there to party, but I think there are a lot of people there that are very spiritually ripe and looking for ways to really uplift their life and hear what other people, you know, are doing and know about spirituality and that kind of stuff. So I don't know if Burning Man is the same way, but Rainbow Gathering has been
more of a really out there art and sculptural festival.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a little bit more of the focus, I think, at Burning Man.
Yeah.
Still super open-minded people, and that's the point. These are stages where we can have a presence, where we can introduce thousands of people just by our presence. You know, we should get creative with the way that we present ourselves. Like Burning Man is all about gifting things. Well, my God, I mean, what gift do we have? We have the gift of eternal life. Like, so you know, I have a friend that he sells jewelry, and his whole thing is that his setup when he gets there with his bus is he makes his area, he has all these lights and all this amazing stuff that it's like people are, they walk by his booth and they are so starstruck by his presentation that they just instantly come up and talk to him. And we should play in that same ball field. We should raise as the heathen rage, right? It's what the Urantia book says to do. So it's like, you know, we should be creative in our presentation of the teachings. Like, the way that you guys set the book out open like that with a light, I saw a picture of that. Like, that just intrigues people. They're like, what is this book just randomly doing sitting out here, you know? Like, so these events, with all the other stuff that happens, are full of truth seekers, are full of open-minded individuals, and I'm personally going to be writing something and propose to the community that we start to, you know, focus some funds on picking some of these events out and sending ambassadors and being creative in the way, because, you know, my brother and all of our experiences with people that go to these events, they're just, and your experience, Meredith, they're just super open-minded, and it just feels like a great place to go, you know, to share the teaching, so.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's the perfect place to find right people just waiting to hear about it and get the book, totally.
Well, we are down to the last 15 minutes of the show, if you can believe it. And just wanted to reiterate again, we've got the Truth Seekers event coming up in, like, I think the week or two before yours, which is the 16th through the 22nd of July. We've got the Berlin Conference in Germany happening from the, oh, great, now I can't remember the date.
I think
date.
It's Friday the 6th of July to Monday the 9th
of July. Right, yeah. in Berlin, Germany. And then we have the summer, your event happening the week before, or a few days before the summer study session. Your dates are what again?
Well, some people will be showing up on Friday night, but by and large, Saturday, July 28th. And again, that weekend is a little bit more free-formed, and we're going to get out and see Chicago, have fun. We're going to meet and hang out at 5:33 and still have some structure and program, but most of the interaction then starts on Sunday, July the 29th, and it goes through Wednesday night.
August
then
what?
A big portion of the people, August 1st, I believe, is, I have to look at the calendar now, too.
Yeah, August 1st is Wednesday night. On to Thursday, August 2nd is when we'll head over to the study session.
There you go, yeah.
And that runs until when?
The study session is from August 2nd to the Sunday, the 5th.
The 5th, correct.
My birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good one. So potentially, those that go to Chicago could have two full weekends and the full week in between July the 28th through August 5th. So, you know, look at it that way.
And if you want to buzz over to Europe in the meantime, you could pretty much fill your entire month of July with Urantia activities.
And some of these committee members on this call are going to go to Taos and up to Chicago. So, Liz, Tebow.
And what is the, I know the youth and young adults are actually sponsoring, is it Mike McIsaac you're sponsoring in Europe?
Well, we put some money towards scholarshiping to help fund hostel expenses for youth and young adult European.
Well, the hostel is actually completely booked already. So they're looking for outside stays for other people who want to come. There's another hotel that's nearby, and I think maybe some local homes. So they still are open to more people coming, but just so you know, the hostel rooms are all booked.
Right. But we helped, as the committee helped, fund some of those rooms for some of the Europeans that asked for help financially. And that's one of the gifts that our committee can do. And Mike McIsaac is an adjunct member of this committee. And he's our international correspondent, and we're just happy to have him. And he'll be coming to Chicago, and all his good energy. And
so I just want to personally congratulate each one of you guys for your work on these projects and for really getting people within the movement motivated to devote time, resources, and energy to our youth, our kids, our young, our teenagers, and our young adults. You know, kudos to all of you for that. And to Tom and Fred and Laura Hay for their work, and Julie Langston for their work with Truth Seekers. I mean, it's really, there's really some momentum that's been starting since the late 90s that is really gathering momentum, and I'm just really proud of y'all.
Thank
and
you,
great
Kristen.
People
yeah.
involved with that, like John Krieger and Bill and Kay Cooper, who have really helped to create a curriculum. And, you know, there's good things going on there. There's good things going on with the youth and young adults. And, you know, I want to tell you guys that when I think of young people, I think of young people as being our greatest, most precious natural resource. And worthy of every effort and every investment we make into your future. And I also think of you as the flower of evolution. And I think one thing the Urantia book says, and to me it just resonates so deeply, is that evolution is a given. And that every generation is better and brighter than the last one, or the one that came before it. And that's my experience with young people, and you give me so much hope for the future. And it's not because you love the Urantia book like I do. It's not about that at all. It's about the quality you bring to what you do and the integrity that you have. And I'm so moved by that, and I'm so touched by it. And you guys are all such wonderful young people. And such a joy to know you, and so proud of you, what you're doing, and who you are. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do.
Well, thank you, Paula. You've always been an awesome support, and, you know, anytime we've needed anything from the fellowship or from you or anything, you've been so supportive and always trying to help foster every project. And your love is much felt, so thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Count on
back
me.
Back at you, Paula. Yeah. Well, you're also are a contributor as the mother of one of the founding members of Yaya. We wouldn't be a committee without May.
Hear, hear.
Thanks for gifting us.
You know, Tevo, your website is incredible. Your knowledge and you guys all blow me away with your ability to, with your gadget ability.
And Angie, you're so articulate, and your writing is so beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Speaking and writing, you're a real gifted gal.
Talk about seeing somebody like Angie grow up into this most beautiful, poised, incredible young woman. You guys are all just inspiring to me, and I have no qualms or fear about the future with you at the helm.
Yeah.
I know you're going to do a great job and rise to the challenges. And I would tell you all that when you start to have kids, things change a little bit. Miranda could speak to this too, I'm sure. But you know, just roll with it, and you know, I'm so glad you're involved. I just can't express it enough. Thank you.
Also, I want to plug Angie a little bit. I don't know if she's still on, but she has also taken on an incredibly large role of volunteer work within the Urantia community, and that is she is the chair of our next international conference, IC14, which is a huge job. And it's so exciting to see somebody under 30 years old take that responsibility on. And obviously her energy will be reflected in the conference. It'll be a wonderful conference with
Wow, that is something.
I don't think that's ever been done.
Anybody who's worked on an international conference?
Yeah. Well, you would know.
Yeah.
Well, I will be coming to you all for your wisdom.
Well, count on us.
I'd like to also take this opportunity to plug the United Urantia Family Festival. For the first time, we're going to be having a primarily vacation type of festival in Yosemite next summer for Jesus' birthday in 2013 in California. So that's going to be a very family-oriented event. There's only room, I think, for 350 people. So those slots will be filling up fast. But it's going to be just an amazing, fun outdoor activities, and as well as a lot of the kinds of activities that go on with Truth Seekers, looking at values and sharing intimacy and, love, forgiveness, and service.
Yeah, I look forward to that one, Crystalline. Yeah, that's exciting. It's such a beautiful place on the planet.
We're going to spend Jesus' birthday. We're going to take a trek to the Grizzly Giant as a whole group. So that's going to be really fun. So
yeah, it'll be awesome. Yeah,
August 2013. So we've got a lot of really fun things going on.
Rumor has it that the Grizzly Giant is the Archangel, the anchor of the Archangel headquarters. So
for all of Nebadon. Not just for Urantia, but for all of Nebadon. Isn't that amazing?
It might be an amazing thing.
It is. There's definitely some spiritual energy there. There's no doubt about it.
Without
and I think some of these reservists, I know this is a big topic to touch on with 3 or 4 minutes left in our show here, but I think some of the Reserve Corps of Destiny, their hands were at work with the Midwayers and our angels and supervising government and protecting that land that we call National Park today.
Indeed. It's definitely one of the most beautiful places in the world that I've ever been.
And America was the first place where we set aside huge tracts of land. That was unheard of on the planet until the late 1800s. And a lot of hardworking souls.
Yellowstone National Park was the first one, right?
The first. Yosemite was the second. And I'm sure reservists were involved in both of them. And then it set a precedence and a pattern. And now we have over 50.
And they're spreading all over the world.
It's a pattern that's going around the world. So no doubt reservists and the angels were hard at work. And it's no small coincidence that Yosemite being one of those tracts of land that was set aside because of the spiritual polarity and focus and energy that emanates from there.
They also think that is the location of where I'm going to forget his name. Anamanalantan.
The
red man who was the great spiritual leader on this planet, who's now on the Council of 24.
Exactly. Yeah, good call, Crystal. And I believe that to be true as well. They don't say specifically, but present-day California in the Redwoods. And you can,
David Holt has done some research on that and sort of come up with the idea that that's where they were.
And that was one of the highest civilizations on our planet. And this is a topic that dovetails with this summer study, progressive planetary civilization. And it isn't always progressive. And some of our highest civilizations were 80,000 years ago. And what was he doing there? And why was it such a successful community?
And how did it just completely disappear and fall from the annals of history?
Yeah, and he's the recognized leader of the red rays. And that
a mighty race it is.
For sure. We got much to learn. We continue to learn from that race.
Well, we're winding down the last few seconds of our program this week, so we just want to thank Tony. Thank you so much for pulling this together and coming on our program.
Thanks to my committee. They're always there. It's just a committed group. I'm just so impressed and honored to serve with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're always welcome on Cosmic Citizen, you guys. Anytime you have a program to promote, please let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll pull a Saturday morning out for you anytime.
Appreciate it, Chris.
And you guys are all just awesome, and it's a kind of a small group, it seems like, right now, but I just always remember, you know, more than half the population of the planet is under 25 right now, and the millennial generation is huge, and there's so many people that are going to be ripe
and
coming
very interested
and ready
in spirituality.
Thanks, Miranda, for your energy.
Very interested.
Yeah, your contributions were beautiful today, Miranda. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Miranda.
Well, I always love talking to you guys.
Ditto.
Yeah, we'll see you in Chicago.
Yeah, thank you, guys. See you soon. Thanks, Angie, Tevo, Liz, May, Jeff. Thanks so much.
God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
Tony. Thank you.
God bless.
Much love.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book. So all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.